Again, we appreciate all of you being here. And I've become fast friends with Brother Kent. We've known each other for about 40 minutes now. But I've heard nothing but good things said about him from Brother Poplowski and the church that he pastors in Minnesota. We're just glad we don't have cold weather here in Wisconsin like they have in Minnesota. Amen. Glory to God. But I know he is something for us this morning. God wants to deliver something from another world to us. That's what's so incredible, that God can speak through us, not only through the preaching, but the gifts of the Spirit. The word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. Every pastor has to have that in their life to be able to minister to God's people. And so would you welcome Brother Kent from Minnesota.
It is a distinct privilege for me to be here with you this morning, as Brother, your pastor Schumacher has said here, that we've known each other for just a very short time. In fact, he called me just the other day, and we talked about arrangements of when we were going to be here, and I was working on mowing our church lawn. I can appreciate what he said here this morning, and how he said thank you for those who had taken care of the lawn here this last week. My wife and I have started a church. You can be seated. Go ahead and be pleased to be seated. Minneapolis here. We went to Minneapolis about 15 years ago as Metro missionaries and began to build a church. In fact, now it's been churches in the last 15 years. And we're so thankful to be able to say that we've been involved in his kingdom, his work, and have seen so many people filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and baptized in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Felt such a wonderful, warm presence as they came into the house here this morning. And it thrilled me to see so many people gathering here and praying and seeking the face of God before this service this morning. It gave me great confidence, because I recognize that without the prayers of God's people, without his Spirit ministering, we can really do not much at all. Amen. But with that, there's no telling what God can do. Amen. I want to have my wife stand here just for a second here this morning, Sister Kent. Amen. My wife Susan is, of course, really, we've been married 38 years, and so she's been by my side all of those years. And she's been a strength to me in my ministry and the work that we do. And in that northern state of Minnesota, yeah. I feel the anointing of God in the house here this morning. Amen. Y'all feel it? Amen. Man, some of the ladies might be tired. I know that it's been a busy week. But we're going to go ahead and just allow the Spirit of the Lord to create that atmosphere where something great can happen in this service. Amen. Ready? Hallelujah. Anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Would you help me sing it this morning? Anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me.
Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me.
And that's what I'm praying here this morning, is that God's presence would not only fall upon me here today, but each and every one that is in this house this morning. Amen. From the Gospel of Mark, I'm going to be preaching from the second chapter here this morning. And again, it is such a privilege for me to be here. I walk into this beautiful sanctuary that you've made. I've already seen some of the work and the workmanship men that have given their talents and abilities to making these beautiful wood columns, and oh my goodness, what a gorgeous building. I thought of it, how it must have felt when the Queen of Sheba went to see Solomon's temple. And she said the half has not been told. And so in 40 minutes, 50 minutes, I cannot probably think about all the things that have been accomplished here in the last however many years that has been this church has been here. But I can only imagine that, you know, there's so many different steps and things that everyone has to do before you get to the stage that you are right now. Amen. And so I appreciate all the work that has been done by so many men and women, and of course, your leadership and your pastor here in this church here this morning. Again, I also want to greet your assistant pastor, newly elected. Amen. And I appreciate the fact that, you know, you have a vision not only for the past, but you have a vision for the future. Amen. I appreciate that here this morning. The Gospel of Mark, the second chapter, we're going to be reading from the first verse to the 12th verse here this morning. And the scripture says, again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Hallelujah. I just like that. Whenever I hear the fact that not only do we have preachers now, but Jesus preached the word unto all those that heard. Amen. And the scripture says, and they came to him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. They said, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Hallelujah. Hey, man, I tell you, for the next few minutes, I'm going to speak to you about this subject. When he saw their faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, I want somebody to see something in me. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Talk to somebody this morning. I say, I want somebody to see something in me. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We're going to be a little bit noisy here this morning, so you might as well clap your hands unto the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. You can be seated here this morning. Amen. It's so wonderful again to be here this morning, enjoying the blessings of God. I have already received many blessings in just being in this service today. Amen. I don't know about you, when I come to the house of God, it's always good to be in the house of the Lord. It's always good to praise Him. Amen. It's always good to enjoy His goodness. Always good to worship our God. Amen. We are so blessed this morning. Amen. Amen. So I'm looking at a passage of scripture here today from the Gospel of Mark. And the account of the healing of this man of palsy has always inspired me personally. First, I am amazed whenever Jesus is in the house. You know, every time Jesus is in the house, it should cause us to have an awe about it. Amen. Whenever we come into the house of God, we should feel like, oh my, God is in this place. We should be able to say, wow, His Spirit is in the house. Something about Jesus being in the house should do something in each and every one of our hearts. Oh, I tell you what, whenever we realize Jesus is in the house, amen, great things can begin to happen. Oh, I believe that somebody believes what I'm talking about here this morning. Because I know if I look across this congregation, not all of you have been born and raised in the church. Amen, but I gotta believe that there are people in this building, hey, that God has brought you a long way. And so you've got something to shout about, amen, because of what God has done in your life. Amen. I just come into the house of God. I just feel at awe in His house, amen. Let me just tell you a little bit about me. I come from a background. I was a business background when I was a young man. I wanted to be a millionaire by the time I was 30 years old. That was my desire. You know, God has a way of changing our plans and our desires. Does somebody know what I'm talking about? He has a way of making things His way instead of our way. Amen. But I was a garbage man. He said, how do you make $1 million in the garbage business? Well, I know how. I know how to do it. Amen. But I tell you one thing. I'm going to tell you right now. God had other plans for this young man's life. Hallelujah. And the Lord brought me out. Amen. You know, I was down in the dumps every day. I used to be down in the dumps. Oh, yeah. But I want you to know God had a way to make me where I am today. Praise God. Do you understand God is able to do anything in your life? Amen. My wife and I, we had been in this business for about 4 years. And we came into this apostolic truth. And you know, when you come into apostolic truth, things began to happen, right? There's change. There's transformation. God does a difference in your life. He just does that, doesn't He? Amen. And so, you know, we couldn't stay the same as what we were doing. My desires had to change. My will had to change. Hallelujah. And the Lord began to do some things in my life. Amen. God redeemed us and helped us and saved us and brought us out. Amen. And I had to make some changes. And so I was in this business, and the Lord prompted me and said, you got to sell that business. And so I said, well, Lord, I'll sell the business, but I won't tell anybody. Now, how do you sell something if you don't advertise? How do you sell something if you don't let anybody know it's for sale? Well, I figured, well, if I do that, you know, hey, it's not going to happen, right? I'll just keep on doing what I know how to do, right? But you know, if you tell the Lord something, he can make a way to get it done, can't he? So I told the Lord, I said, I'll sell, but I'm not going to tell anybody how that it's for sale. Well, I want you to know what happened. I was at work one day, and my wife received a phone call, and it was the competition. It was the competition. You see, I've been hurting them bad. Amen. I've been getting accounts and selling accounts, and my business, you know, I was increasing, then they were decreasing, right? It's like John the Baptist. He said, you know, he recognized that Jesus needed to increase and he needed to decrease. Well, I recognized our business was increases and theirs was decreasing. But they recognized it as well. And so they called my wife and they said, we want you to tell your husband that we want to buy him out. Well, how did they know what the Lord had spoken to me? They didn't know. But God has a way of doing what he's doing. Amen. So I come home from work that day, and my wife told me, she said, David, she said, you'll never guess what happened today. I said, well, tell me what happened. And she told me the name of the company, and she told me the people, and she said, they called and said they want to buy you out. And I looked at that, well, I guess that's the way it's going to be. In 30 days, we were totally sold out of their business. We were totally sold out of all of our equipment, everything that we had. In 30 days, God made a way. Amen. You know, God can do things very quickly. Amen. He can make a way where there is no way. I want to encourage somebody this morning. I want you to know God can do something in your life today. So the scripture that we read here this morning tells us the account of this man of palsy. Amen. It tells me that the Bible tells me that it was noised that he was in the house. People recognize when something's going on when Jesus is in the house. Amen. I want you to know, you go out of the church, you let people know, hey, you should have seen what happened in our church this last week. Somebody got delivered. Somebody got saved. Somebody had a healing. Somebody had a miracle. The Bible said it was noised about that Jesus was in the house. I had the opportunity as I drove over here today, I saw, well, there was a Catholic church on the road. We passed by a Catholic church up the way. A lot of cars in the parking lot. I saw down the road here, there was an Assembly of God church that was right down the road here. I saw several different churches as I came down the road to this church. In fact, I turned around and looked around to see exactly what was in the neighborhood here. But I know one thing. If they only knew what was going on in here, everybody would come down to see what Jesus was doing. Oh, somebody, you don't believe me yet, but I want you to know Jesus is in the house this morning. And when Jesus is in the house, anything can happen. Amen. His awesome presence introduces men and women, amen, to what real love really is. Amen. Amen. Oh, love of God. I love that old song, how rich and pure. How measureless and strong. When we feel that love and anointing of God flowing in us, it absolutely is amazing, isn't it? We come into his presence. It's a beautiful thing to come into the house of God. The Bible said it was noised that he was in the house. And so I believe that today, as we have talked about it, and we've heard the ladies and 1,000 people, they have testified of about 1,000 people at ladies' retreat. What are they saying is that, hey, wherever people gather, the presence of God moves in. Amen. Amen. And you have gathered here today not just to be able to come to the house and sit and listen to 15 minutes from some guy up northern Minnesota talk, but you really have come into this place to feel the anointing and the blessing of God. And as the Spirit of God begins to move in your heart, there can be something that happens in your life that can have eternal consequence. Somebody said amen. So I believe God is going to do something in this house here this morning. The Bible tells us that the count of this man of palsy, he says that the house were full. Amen. They were gathered together in that place. The room was so full that I'd say that it exceeded the occupancy rate. I saw that, you know, we stopped at the A&W on the way into town last night. And I noticed there was a little plaque on the wall. I think it said 102. That's as most they can cram into that little A&W, 102. Well, I want you to know, you can put a whole lot of folks in this place. Amen. And I don't know if you can exceed the occupancy. You can open up the doors. Amen. And let people hear the noise on the out. Come on. You have enough faith to believe that God can do anything this morning. But somebody has got to tell someone about what the Lord has done for you. Amen. I believe the house of the Lord is full here this morning. But the story here tells me more about the fact Jesus was in the house and that it was full house and that there was things that were going on. But it talks to me about the power of friendship, and it talks to me about the power of somebody who's willing to do something on the behalf of someone else. We heard here this morning from your ladies, I guess that she's your president or your ladies director, whatever it might be. But we heard the story of how she mentioned that she had been prompted of the Lord to speak to another sister, speak to another friend. And for one reason or another, as she said, she did not do that. Now, I don't speak to condemn her this morning, because I think that every one of us have probably done those things in our life. Amen. I think that, come on, every one of us has fallen short of what the Lord has desired. Every one of us can say, hey, I know that's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Amen. So I don't speak to condemn her this morning, but I do speak to remind us how vital and important that is. And in the mission that God has got in each and every one of our lives, that there are so many people that really do not know him in the strength and the power of what he wants to do in their life. And so the scripture here talks to me about a friend, someone who will pick you up when you're down, someone who will encourage you when you're a little bit depressed. I spoke to a man here this last week. He called me and he said, Pastor, he said, could you come and meet me at the coffee shop? And I went quickly and we met and had coffee together. He spoke to me about problems and circumstances that were going on in his life. And we wept in the Caribou coffee shop together as we prayed and asked God to be able to help him and minister to his need. There's something about a friend, amen? A friend that will encourage, a friend that will bless, a friend that will help somebody out of the trouble that they're in. The story here speaks to me about someone who would be willing to carry you when you don't have strength to carry yourself. And it speaks to me about Jesus' knowledge of the circumstances of our life. The Bible tells us that Jesus knew the hearts of those men that were in that room that day. Do you recognize today in this vast auditorium, the amount of people that are here this day, our great God knows every one of our hearts. Amen. Our great God understands our frame. I love the scripture. He says that he understands me. He knows my frame. He doesn't just leave you out and doesn't think, well, this one's important and this one's not. But our God understands every one of us here. He knows where you are. Right now. The story speaks to me about the power of Jesus to forgive sins and heal the sick. And it speaks to me about a right now kind of faith. Amen. We don't recognize the hours and the days and the times that we have. We really don't. We don't recognize that, well, maybe next week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks from now, who knows what will happen in our life. We don't know all the circumstances that will happen in the future, the distant future. We don't know that. But we do know something. We have right now, we can receive something from the Lord. Because he's come into this place today, and his spirit is in the house this morning to minister to our needs today. In this early account in the Gospel of Mark, it appears that people were content to understand that Jesus was a prophet. He was a healer. He was a teacher. He was a preacher. In fact, they were content to believe that he was, in fact, a great rabbi, something like Moses or Elijah or even one of the other prophets who performed mighty miracles. They were those kind of individuals in that crowd that day. They recognized, obviously, there's something about Jesus that is so very different than the rest of us. They recognized that he was something. It was at Capernaum that Jesus' activities began, in a town that he came. And Jesus taught there in that local synagogue. It was at Capernaum, his hometown, that also the apostles Peter and James and Andrew and John came from, and the tax collector Matthew. And it was at Capernaum that Jesus began to speak about the subject of forgiveness of sins and of the healing of this palsied man. And that is when the people began to take offense. You see, whenever a preacher, and Jesus, the Bible says he was preaching the word there. But whenever a preacher begins to preach about sin, then things get personal. Because we can then look inwardly and realize the things that are in our lives, amen. We can get the mirror and realize, wow, I gotta examine my own life. I gotta realize, oh, there's something in my own life. Preaching about sin gets into areas that are not so obvious as a broken body or a palsied man. Preaching about sin gets right down to where the real you is, amen. When we begin to preach about sin in life, amen, it begins to get right down where we're living at, amen. Amen. And so when Jesus began to talk about sin, amen, and forgiveness of sin, it caused a lot of strong emotions in that room. Until then, they were there to see the miraculous. Until then, they were seeing what the Lord had done in that place. Amen. They watched and they wondered. But when he talked about the possibility that somebody could have sins forgiven, now their anger arose. And I believe the same thing happens today, amen, that happened in Mark's account. You see, when Jesus is in the house, miracles began to happen. There's no question. People can be healed in this house right now. There's no reason why somebody could not receive a healing in this house right now. Jesus is definitely in the house. There's no reason the blind could not see, the dead could not, come on, the dead could not be raised. Those kind of things happen, amen, every time that Jesus is in the house. But I want you to know when Jesus is in the house, amen, and when people begin to talk about sin, sins being forgiven, greater things can happen as well, amen. Hallelujah. People can have their sins remitted. They can be redeemed. They can be blood bought. They can be purchased. People can go down in the wonderful waters of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins. Hallelujah. But it's at that point people began to get a little bit tight. Amen. When people began to talk about those kind of things, they get tight. Amen. It's like the person that said stand and they say they're holding on to the back of the pew. No, I'm not going to stand. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to seek God. I don't want to have something revealed in my life. But I want you to know he knows it already. Jesus knows about us already. We might as well go ahead and allow God to take care of what's in our life. Hallelujah. Amen. And so what happens is that there's these different emotions that go on anytime that Jesus is in the house. Amen. His spirit begins to move. People get healed. All of a sudden the word of God goes forward and people have forgiveness of sins taking place. Amen. Amen. And it happens in our local churches, in this church right here, even this morning. And you know, the devil doesn't get angry. And the religious community doesn't get mad when people do good works. Amen. They will applaud. They will thank you. Oh, my goodness. It's so wonderful that somebody has a bread kitchen, or so wonderful that somebody's willing to help somebody and give finances, whatever, in the community. And those are all good things. We all need to be doing those things. Amen. But I want you to know, the moment you began to talk about the sin question, that's when things really get riled up and the picture changes. Though the people still come to see what you have to give away, we've had those kind of things, giving a bike away, get kids in the house of God. We've done all of those things. But the moment that you began to talk about the sin question, that's when people get, oh my, I don't know if I can handle this any longer. Amen. That's why the Pharisees got all bent out of shape, because they began to talk about the sin question. Amen. We've got to make sure that Jesus is in the house and he's able to do whatever he wants to do in the house. Amen. When we preach about Jesus, I tell you what happened. Forgiveness begins to come in. Amen. People will get deliverance in the house when we preach about Jesus. Amen. He's our healer, isn't he? He was wounded for my transgressions. Oh, yeah. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Amen. Are you thankful for the blood this morning? Jesus shed that precious blood for you and I. I'm thankful for the blood. But the story here speaks to me about people that will be willing to carry someone to the house of God, the place where Jesus is. It was on Thanksgiving, just a little bit more than a year ago, that I went to Florida to visit my daughter and son-in-law who had moved from Minneapolis. They had served us for 12 years in the Minneapolis metro area. Had been a strength unto us and a help unto us. We went to visit our daughter, our son-in-law, and two grandkids in Tampa, Florida. While we were there, we just went down to a local, what was it, Whole Foods place. It was a whole. My wife wanted me to eat healthy, and so she said, "Let's go to the Whole Foods place." But it was while we were in that Whole Foods store, I became very disorientated. I became very, I couldn't see. I wondered what was going on. I had no idea. Never had happened to me before like this. I was disorientated. And suddenly, I experienced a grand mal seizure for the first time in my life. Began to shake. I began to quake, began to fall on the ground. I guess my daughter and my wife, they began to call out for help in the building. Is there a doctor in the house? Somebody, is there somebody here that can help my husband? I had nothing I could do myself. My body was total. I'd never had this happen in my life. I didn't understand anything that was taking place. My eyes began to go back in my head. And they began to ask for help, and happened to have in that house, there was a doctor that was in the house. My wife called, "Can somebody call for an ambulance?" And it wasn't very long, and an ambulance came. Those workers that were there, they came to haul me out. I want you to know, I do not remember not one of these things I'm speaking to you of. I'm only giving you testimony of what they have told me happened. I don't have any idea of what happened. But I guess they took me off the floor. They did a hemlock maneuver. I guess I had something in my mouth. They tried to remove that something in my mouth. The EMT workers came and they put me on the gurney and they hauled me out to the ambulance. Again, I was just there visiting and having a nice vacation time. Brought me out to the ambulance, put me in the ambulance. My wife got in with the drivers on the other side. They turned the sirens on and they go down the road. And I don't know what was happening, but my wife told me, she said, "David, when you were on that gurney," she said, "you began to call out, 'What's happening? What's happening? Where are we going?'" And she told me, "Well, we're going to the hospital. You've had a seizure, something on that order." And
at that time, I just cried, "Oh Jesus!" Remember, I don't have any idea what was happening. I just cried, "Oh Jesus!" And immediately I began to speak in another tongue as the Spirit of God gave me the utterance. I began to talk in tongues. I just had a seizure. Just about pulled off the floor of this Whole Foods store. They put me in an ambulance, hauling me to a hospital. And now I'm speaking in other tongues in this ambulance. And they cried out. They said, "What's going on back here?" They thought there was something going on. They thought that, hey, this guy that's in the back, what is going on? What's going on in his life? And my wife said, "No, don't worry. He's just talking to God. I'm talking in tongues." And she said, "Don't worry. He's just talking to God." Amen. He's talking in tongues. Away they go. They brought me to the hospital. They brought me into where they bring you into the ambulance area. And they bring me in there in this large room. And doctors are coming and nurses are coming. And all of a sudden in that room, I began to talk to Jesus again and began to speak in tongues loud. It wasn't just a little. It was loud. Began to talk in tongues, and they came running. And the doctor said, "What's he doing? What's he doing?" And the ambulance workers said, "Oh, don't worry. He's just talking to God. He's just talking to God." They brought me up to the room, put me in the hospital there, and I stayed there. Was a very miserable patient for them. I did not want to be there. It was Thanksgiving. Man, there was turkey and dressing and potatoes at my daughter's house. I wouldn't want to be there. Was not a very good patient. My wife said, she said, "If he has to stay near, you better bring him right next to you because he's not going to stay in this place." And I want you to know that the Lord, he helped me. But I could do nothing for myself. And this is the point I'm trying to drive here this morning. I could do nothing for myself. I had to rely on the doctor, the doctors, the EMT workers, the ambulance driver, the hospital workers. I could do nothing for myself. I had to allow on somebody else to do things for me, to help me. And to bring me back into a healthy state again. And when I began to call on Jesus, I guess I recognized I could do nothing myself, but only that Jesus was able to bring healing in my life. I want you to know this morning, that did something for me. It helped me to realize, first of all, even when we don't know what we're doing. Man, I was talking in tongues when I didn't even know about it. Tell you what, you ought to talk in tongues every day. Oh yeah, you ought to talk. Paul said, "I talk in tongues more than y'all." Amen. You ought to allow the Spirit of the Lord to minister in your life every day. Amen. I didn't know what was happening, but I knew one thing. Somebody else had to care for me. This story speaks to me about four people who are willing to bring somebody with palsy. If you don't know anyone with palsy, we had a young man in the church that we started in the city of Bemidji. He had cerebral palsy. His name was Johnny. And Johnny would drool from his face. He would drool down his mouth and down his face. And his hand would go up in the air, something like this. And when the presence of God would come into the room, Johnny would just shake under the presence of God. It was beautiful. Oftentimes we pray, "Lord, touch Johnny's life." And you know, Johnny, his palsy, he never did have his palsy removed. But I know one thing, the presence of God moved Johnny every time. But this story speaks to me about people that are willing to go out of their way
to bring somebody to Jesus. I look at this great church here this morning, and I recognize those kind of things have happened in this church, because you cannot build a church just by the pastor alone. Can't be done. You have to have people that are willing to minister to others and go out of their way and bus ministry and cars. And you have to have people that are willing to just do things that maybe not everybody knows about, that, but you're doing it for the work of God. And these four individuals, they had a desire. Their friend was sick, and so they wanted to bring them to Jesus. They had heard about it. They had heard if we could only get them to Jesus, everything's going to be all right. But when they got there, the room was full. The doors were crammed. They couldn't get in. And so instead of quitting and saying it's not possible today, they looked for other opportunities to do something for their friend. And I tell us this morning, we cannot quit. We cannot stop. We cannot delay, but we've got to allow God to be able to do things within our life so that we can bring somebody else to Jesus. So they climbed on the roof. The Bible says they uncovered the roof. Can you imagine? Can you imagine in this place here this morning, it was so full that somebody all of a sudden they're up on top of the roof, and the beautiful workmanship that's been done already here. They've got a pickaxe up there, and they're tearing it up. Can you imagine? Your pastor, he'd be up there, what are you doing? Are you crazy? But no, I tell you, you know, Jesus kind of looked up, and he knew what was going on. He said, somebody's hungry. You know when somebody's going to go out of the ordinary. They want something from God. And so they're willing to step out of the way. They're willing to do whatever. And so they were up on the roof uncovering. And you know, I don't know how they got him up, hoist him. Grab his hand up there, Johnny. And they jerk him up there. You know, can you imagine? However we got to get him there, we're going to get him there. And the two other guys pushing him up from underneath. Can you imagine? Finally, they're dropping him down in the middle. And all the audience that was there, they had already gotten their place. They had arrived early. Got your own pew. My favorite chair. And somebody else is going to interrupt what's going on already? Just a thought. They began to lower him down. And that's the story that we've read here this morning. That Jesus, not only did he heal him, but he forgave him of his sins. But where did it start? It started when four individuals said, we can bring somebody to Jesus. You know what I believe? I know God's calling on my life. He has called me to be a church planter. And I've been successful in starting several churches, and I'm looking at starting several more. But I believe this. I believe that all of us have a part in doing the work of God. Amen. Yes, it takes the pastor. You got to have somebody preach the word of God. But you know, you had a dismissal this morning for those Sunday school teachers to go out of this place so that they can teach the word of God to little children. Amen. It takes them to get involved in ministry, doesn't it? It takes somebody else to get involved in driving the, if you have the Sunday school bus, or if driving the van. It takes somebody to get involved in doing the work of the Lord. Amen. And that's what I'm talking to you this morning. The Bible said, when he saw their faith. I tell you what, miracles can happen in this house as you help somebody else receive their victory. Hallelujah. I want to close with this morning. His name was Bill Koga. I called him Wild Bill. Wild Bill, he was Chinese, and I was in charge in Stockton, California. I went there to Bible College and Christian Life College in Stockton, California. I went back in 1987. Both my wife and I We were considered the older students. We had children of our own. And so we were involved in many ministries there in Stockton, California. But one of the ministries that I was in charge of was the discipleship program. And so I had the opportunity to minister to all the new converts that came in to a church that seated about 3,000 people. It was absolutely awesome. But Bill Koga, Chinese man, he was one of my heroes because each week he would take out, and it was like a 1967 station wagon. Old vehicle, old station wagon, but it's still seated about, well, in Bill's case, probably about 15 to 17 people every Sunday. And I don't know where Bill would get them, but he'd go up in the highways or he'd invite them and he would bring them. And I'm telling you, they came in all different sizes, shapes, colors. And what Bill did was just bring them to the house of God. Amen. And I'd oftentimes go outside and watch as they'd come out of that station wagon. They would peel out of that station wagon. You know, they're cramped in. They'd peel out. And every time they'd come in happy. Man, they're just happy to get in the house of God. First time visitors. Never had they been before. First time. They're all happy. I'm coming to see Jesus this morning. I don't know what Bill did to tell them. But I know one thing. He was willing to do his part in bringing somebody to Jesus. When they saw his faith, he'd get them all to come down to the altar and pray. The pastors that were there would all pray for them and people would receive the Holy Ghost. Miracles would happen. But I tell you what, it happened because Bill Koga was willing to go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. It's exciting to see the church. Your church here is grown, expanded. It will expand again. It will expand again, brother. It'll expand again. There'll be greater things. Greater things shall ye do. Greater things shall you do. It'll expand again. But we don't know exactly how it's going to do it. But we know one thing. Each one of us has a calling and a purpose and a plan. And we have to do what God wants to do in our life. We read the story. The man with palsy delivered. Doesn't even say his name. Just said he was the man with palsy. We don't always know everybody's name when they come. We don't always know their story. But usually, we'll know something about the people that brought them there. I want you to stand with me this morning. You know what I feel? I feel like the Lord is calling us all to go a little bit more, go a little bit deeper, reach out a little bit further for what he is desiring to do in our life. Amen. God's got a calling in your life, a place and a plan and a purpose. You can help grow this local assembly. You can help do it. Amen. And God is inviting you this morning to become involved with that program. I don't know how you do it on Sunday morning, but I tell you how we do it in our local church. We just say, hey, why don't you come and ask God, direct your thought. Like this woman is right here. She's just realizing, I've got a hunger. I've got a desire. Why don't you make your way down to this altar and commit yourself one more time to the Lord? Come on. Reach out this morning.